I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 30. Now, many of you know who John Newton is. You know that he was a famous man, but he was a man of different contrasts, for sure. One was that he's known for writing Amazing Grace. He is also known as working as an abolitionist to end the slave trade in England. However, there's another side to Newton. He was himself a slave trader and a miserable man for many years. When he was younger, he was difficult to get along with and often disliked by the crews of the ship he served on. He tried to desert. He contemplated suicide. He was left off a ship at a port because the rest of the crew couldn't stand him. He even became a slave to slave traders himself. Even with all the misery and suffering that he had experienced, he still served on a slave trading ship. And he was considered one of the most profane men on that ship. Until one night, there was a great storm in the open seas so rough that he was certain he was going to die. And he cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us." Now, Newton lived. And though not right away, he did give his life to Jesus Christ, became a minister, wrote a pamphlet on the abolition of slavery that had a profound effect on the slave trade in England. What made the difference? Jesus Christ. A heart once full of hatred and self-profiting motives was changed to one of compassion and a desire to do right. Following Jesus made all the difference. And in today's text, in chapter 30 and 31, we will see juxtaposed against each other one who follows God and one who does not and follows the way of the flesh. And the way of the flesh leads to misery and self-defeat, while the one who follows God sees victory after victory. Like Newton, it does not mean that in Genesis 30 and 31, we are looking at perfect people. Jacob was a sinner. He had some serious spiritual maturing to do. But if we could say anything, it's that God's amazing grace in Jacob's life made all the difference. My prayer is that today we will see very clearly that there's only one way to live that's worth living, to walk with the Lord, and that without hesitation, we will forsake the ways of the flesh because life with Christ is far better. So let's pray and ask God to guide us through this text this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we are here today together as brothers and sisters in Christ, here to worship you, Father, here to hear from you in your word. May we love Jesus. May we follow Jesus. May the Spirit speak to us and teach us and guide us. And may we forsake the ways of the flesh. Help us. We are weak. We are sinners. But you are a great God. And so we pray you work in us now as we look at your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 30, verse 25 says this: "As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, 'Send me away that I may go to my own home and my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you.' For Laban said to him, 'If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will give it.' Now Jacob said to him, 'You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock have fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly. And the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also?' And he said, 'What shall I give you?' And Jacob said, 'You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb and the spotted and speckled among the goats. They will be my wages.' So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted as stolen. And Laban said, good, let it be as you have said. But that day, Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, everyone that had white on it, and every lamb that was black. And he put them in the charge of his sons, and he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob. And Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set them the sticks and he peeled them in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred when they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lamb and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the flock of Laban. He put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants, male servants, and camels and donkeys. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has gained all this wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and your kindred, and I will be with you. So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was, and he said to them, I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before. But the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not permit him to harm me. If he said, the spotted shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore spotted. And if he said, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flocks bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats were mated with the flocks that were striped, spotted, and mottled. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob! And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see. All the goats that mate with the flock are striped and spotted and mottled, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now, arise, go from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Then Rachel and Leah answered him and said, is there any portion of inheritance left for us in our father's house? Are we not regarded to him as foreigners? For he has sold us, and he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our fathers belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. So Jacob arose and set his sons, his wives, on camels, and he drove away all his livestock, all his property that he had gained, the livestock in his possession he acquired in Padam Aram, to go to the land of Canaan to his father Isaac. Laban had gone to shear the sheep, his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods. And Jacob tricked Laban the Aramean by not telling him that he intended to flee. He fled with all that he had and arose and crossed the Euphrates, and he set his face towards the hill country of Gilead. When it was told to Laban on the third day that Jacob had fled, he took his kinsmen with him and pursued him for 7 days and followed close after him into the hill country of Gilead. But God came to Laban the Aramean in a dream by night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. And Laban overtook Jacob. Now, Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country, and Laban with his kinsmen pitched tents in the hill country of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done? Why have you tricked me and driven away my daughters like captives of the sword? Why did you secretly why did you flee secretly and trick me and did not tell me so that I might have sent you away with mirth and songs, with tambourine and lyre? And why did you not permit me to kiss my sons and my daughters farewell? Why have you done so foolishly? It is in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night, saying, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. And now you have gone away because you've longed greatly for your father's house. Why did you steal my gods? And Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I thought that you would take your daughters from me by force. Anyone with whom you find your gods shall not live in the presence of our kinsmen. Point out what I have done, that is what I have that is yours, and take it. Now Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen them. So Laban went into Jacob's tent and into Leah's tent and into the tent of two female servants. But he did not find them, and he went out of Leah's tent and entered Rachel's. And now Rachel had taken the household gods and put them in the camel's saddle and sat on them. And Laban felt all about the tent, but he did not find them. And she said to her father, let not my lord be angry that I cannot rise before you, for the way of women is upon me. So he searched, but did not find the household gods. Then Jacob became angry and berated Laban. Jacob said to Laban, what is the offense? What is my sin that you have hotly pursued me? For you have felt through all my goods. And what have you found for all your household goods? Set it here before my kinsmen and your kinsmen, that they may decide between us two. These 20 years I've been with you. Your ewes and your female goats have not miscarried, and I have not eaten the rams of your flocks. What was torn by wild beasts, I did not bring to you. I bore the loss myself. From my hand you required it, whether it was stolen by day or stolen by night. There I was. By day the heat consumed me, and the cold by night, and my sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I have been in your house. I have served you for 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you have changed my wages 10 times. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God saw my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. Then Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, the children are my children, the flocks are my flocks, and all that you see is mine. But what can I do this day for these daughters or their children whom they have borne? Come now, let us make a covenant between you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set it up, a pillar. And Jacob said to his kinsmen, gather stones. And they took stones. They made a heap. And there by the heap, Laban called it Jagar Sahadutha. But Jacob called it Galeed. Now Laban said, this heap is a witness between you and me today. Therefore, he named it Galeed and Mizpah. For he said, the Lord watch between you and me. When we are out of one another's sight, if you oppress my daughters, or if you take wives besides my daughters, although no one is with us, see, God is a witness between you and me. Then Laban said to Jacob, see this heap and this pillar which I have set between you and me? This heap is a witness, and the pillar is a witness that I will not pass over this heap to you, and you will not pass over this heap and this pillar to me to do harm. The God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. So Jacob swore by the fear of Isaac, and Jacob offered a sacrifice in the hill country and called his kinsmen to eat bread. There they ate bread and spent the night in the hill country. Early in the morning, Laban arose and kissed his grandchildren and his daughters and blessed them. And then Laban departed and returned home. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Now, Genesis 30 and 31 really help us to see what God's work or amazing grace looks like in the life of someone. Jacob had a miserable past, but God was at work in his life. Psalm 1:6, I think it's a great psalm to consider. It says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And as we trace the trajectory through this narrative, through these two chapters, We pay careful attention to how Jacob is walking with integrity, while Laban does not. Laban relies on deceit after deceit after deceit. We see Jacob isn't 100% perfect. But Rachel has had a son. It's time to return home. They've established their family. And that was something that God told Jacob in Genesis 28. I'm with you, I'll keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now Jacob goes to Laban and he says, let my family go, let my people go. Laban, it's time. And of course Laban's quick response is, I don't think so. Why don't you stay here? I got rich because of you. And I learned this because of divination, which is absolutely forbidden in Scripture. And instead of Laban thinking, maybe there's something to following the Lord, Laban says, I just want to get rich off of Jacob, who follows the Lord. Now, Jacob tells Laban that he had a lot less before Jacob came, and that God has allowed Laban to become blessed because of Jacob. And Jacob wants to establish a house of his own. So he says, what do you want if you're going to leave me? And just as Abraham rejected gifts from the king of Sodom so that no one could say Abraham would be made rich by a man, Jacob didn't want anything from Laban. He just wanted to take all of what would have been considered the less desirable animals from the flock, the ones that Laban would be happy to get rid of because they weren't premium quality animals. The speckled, the spotted, and the mottled, whatever they say there, and the lambs that were black, these were all things that were not wanted. Same thing for the goats. Now, that would also be a considerably smaller number of animals as well. So Laban's flock would vastly outnumber Jacob's. The point is, it would be easy for Laban to say, hey, those are mine, and those are clearly yours. You got the less desirable ones. Now, what does Laban do? Yeah, sure, Jacob, we'll do that. Oh, and just a minute. Come to the field in a minute. And when he gets there, what does he see? He learns that Laban has taken all the speckled, spotted sheep away and moved them 3 days away so that Jacob can't even breed them. He wants to keep Jacob in indentured servitude. And so Laban is up to his old devices. And of course, God is with Jacob. And so using what I will call the methods of the day, there's no scientific reason to say that this works. In fact, I don't believe it was putting the sticks in the water trough that caused this. I believe that it was God who did this. However, this is what Jacob did. And he prospered while Laban floundered. And of course, Jacob was crafty too. He was no slouch. Now, Psalm 35:7 says, let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad, and say evermore, God, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. And so here's what we learn. Jacob has been given the raw end of the deal every time, and yet he still prospers because God is with him. Laban, who had every advantage, cheated Jacob. He made it impossible for Jacob to prosper, but it all came to nothing for Laban. Laban became envious of Jacob, and his sons accused Jacob of stealing from his father, even though they had clearly laid out the terms. Jacob knew things were getting tense. And that's when the Lord appears to Jacob and says, it's time to go home. I'm sure Jacob wasn't disappointed. And so, I will be with you. And the evidence that God was at work in Jacob's life is because what does he do? He obeys God. And Jacob calls his wives together, and maybe for the first time in a long time, they are getting along. They meet together as a family, lay aside rivalries, and work together for the good of all. And he presents the issue. Things are getting difficult with your father, and your father has been against me. And so he says, however, the God of my father has been with me in spite of your father's wrongdoings. And so he's beginning to acknowledge, Jacob is beginning to acknowledge God's work in his life. Now he lists the grievances that Laban has cheated him, and Jacob has given his all, and he's lost his, or his wages have been changed 10 times. And yet no harm has befallen Jacob. And why? Because Psalm 28:7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and my song I give thanks to him." That is the same God that we serve that sees us in our injustices, in our times when we're taken advantage of. He knows that, and he's with us. Now, Jacob acknowledges God's divine sovereign intervention at work. And we read that when the wages were all spotted, then the animals bore spotted, and then Laban changes it to striped because then he wants Jacob to have those. And Jacob has concluded that God has punished Laban for his dishonesty. And this is judgment. And Jacob also reveals that God has spoken to him in a dream, the same God that he encountered at Bethel. And it was time to go home. Proverbs 28:25 says this, "A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched." And so Laban has followed the greed of his heart. He chases riches, and in doing so, he destroys his family. And I think we should really see this. This is absolutely sad and heartbreaking, because what Rachel says to Jacob, you would hope a daughter would say about their father. "We are treated by him like foreigners. He squandered our inheritance." In other words, she knows that Laban's love of riches is more important than she is. That he has voluntarily sacrificed his family relationships to chase wealth. In the end, he ends up with neither wealth nor his family, and will suffer humiliation at the hands of his own daughter. See, the things of this world perish, and a life focused on gaining riches instead of submitting to the Lord will only result in sorrow. The Bible warns us about this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. "Those who desire to be rich will fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction." Why? "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." Jacob was wealthy. Laban was wealthy. What was the difference? The Lord. Laban only wanted to gain wealth for personal gain and by dishonest methods. Jacob prospered because God was with him. And that's a big difference. Rachel then confirms that God has punished Laban and told Jacob it's time to go. And so Laban has attempted to keep Jacob under his thumb, to keep him poor. And it's kind of a subtle thing, but what does it say they ride out on? They ride out on camels. Camels are the sign of being extremely prosperous. They were a sign of prestige. That was saying God was with Jacob. And so what happens? Well, Rachel steals the household gods, and that is an act of sabotage, because by stealing the household gods, these were a status symbol for the family, and it was humiliating, and it would have been viewed as an act of treason against the family. This shows how hurt Rachel and Leah were. What would hurt Laban the most? Let's get him. Right there. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous." And that happened here for sure. So Laban hears about Jacob and his family fleeing, and 3 days later he pursues them, catches up with them a week later. It's been 10 days. And God's divine protection is again evidenced over Jacob. Why? Because this time God appears to Laban. And he's like, "Don't you dare say anything to him, good or bad." In other words, don't mess with Jacob. Now, Laban can hardly believe the injustice he has suffered at the hand of Jacob. How could you force my daughters away by the sword as if they were captives? Poor, poor Laban. Oh, I just wanted to send you off with a feast. I just wanted to kiss my family goodbye. I'm so hard done by. And Jacob, you've ruined it all by fleeing. How could you? But you see how menacing Laban actually is? I could have harmed you. And it was true, he could have. But God intervened. And God warned me not to do anything. Aren't I a nice guy for not killing you off? You want to go home? Why did you steal my gods? You see, that's what really bothered Laban. He wasn't even chasing after them for his family. It was his worthless idols. His god was wealth, and worshiping it had cost him everything. I mean, again, the scriptures are clear. Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. And if you are wealthy, then use your money to serve God. Jacob tells Laban that he has escaped because he was afraid of what Laban would do to him, take his daughters back by force. He's so sure nobody's stolen the idols that he says, go ahead and search. And of course, he doesn't know that Rachel has done this. And so he goes searching through the camp, unable to find them. And Rachel is sitting on them, claiming it's that time of month, and so she can't get up. Jacob can hold it in no longer. He is absolutely furious with Laban. Now, this is 20 years of pent-up frustration. And he just unleashes. I never enriched myself from you. Any time you bore a loss, it came out of my wages. I repaid it. I spent time in the blistering heat and the freezing cold, losing sleep, making you wealthy. I served you for 14 years for your daughters, and you changed my wages 10 times. And here is the big point that Jacob says. If the God of Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, which Jacob calls the fear of Isaac, that is to say Isaac feared God, served him, revered him, respected him, worshipped him. If that God, the true God, had not been with me, you would have sent me away empty-handed. God saw my affliction, and you were rebuked for it. Psalm 34:17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Laban has got a lot of bravado, though, doesn't he? What's his response? Well, these are my daughters. Everything you see here is mine. These animals, they're mine. And then he's like, I guess, what am I going to do about it? I'll just generously let you go, you know. In his warped mind, he actually believed that he was probably being magnanimous. And then Laban says, there's only one option, to make a covenant between us. And it's not a friendly covenant. It's a threat. Put these stones down. Mizpah, watch post. If you cross over this, trouble's coming for you. Stay on your side of the stone. Don't you dare do anything to my daughters. But here's the thing. And it's interesting. Laban gives it an Aramaic name. And Jacob calls it Galeed, which is a Hebrew name. And it puzzled me, because here's the I got to read the name, because you know what? I'm not going to be able to just say it off the top of my head. Jagar Sahadutha. Just rolls off the tongue, right? That means witness heap. Do you know what Galeed means? Witness heap. Do you see the contrast? No. It puzzled me. It really puzzled me. But the first one is in Aramaic. The other one is in Hebrew. And one commentator brilliantly suggested that that was Jacob naming it and identifying it with his people as who he was, not just part of Laban's paganism, but identifying himself as God's people. And so Laban doesn't even understand. He says, look, it's the God of Terah and Nahor and Abraham. Abraham didn't serve the God of Terah and Nahor. Abraham was called out of darkness to follow Yahweh, the true God. And Jacob again swears by the fear of Isaac. Jacob is showing that he is now going to follow Yahweh and not the pagan household idols of Laban. They feasted together. Laban kisses his family goodbye, and they leave. Do you see the difference? The Lord makes all the difference. Jacob starts to follow the Lord, starts to walk with integrity. He leaves prosperous, victorious, protected in God's blessedness. Laban loses everything. The Lord makes all the difference. And I just want to very quickly say this. The Israelites, who were the first recipients of Genesis, would have understood that Jacob, who is the father of Israel, was a stranger in a strange land. They would have understood that he had become a slave to Laban. They had been slaves in Egypt, cheated of their wages, cruelly treated, and they longed to return to their homeland. And Jacob fled just as the Israelites fled from Egypt. Jacob rode away on camels in great wealth. The Israelites plundered the Egyptians. The Egyptians pursued, Laban pursued, but God sovereignly and divinely intervened. What made the difference? The Lord made the difference. Pharaoh refused to listen to God. He tried to suppress Israel at every turn, and in the end it cost him everything. So was the fate of Laban. There can be only one conclusion: follow God and obey his commands and live for him. Jesus, when he came to earth to rescue sinners, he was rejected. He was treated unfairly. He was pursued by Herod. He was pursued by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And yet Jesus, who came from Jacob and from Judah and David, he overcame all oppression, and he laid down his life on the cross to die for sinners, to rise from the dead, to conquer death and sin, to grant eternal life. Jesus makes all the difference. We can pursue a life of flesh like Laban and lose it all, or we can know the fear of Isaac, which is our great God, the three in one, Heavenly Father, Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. When God told Jacob to come home, he obeyed. When Jesus calls us home, we must repent of our sin and trust in him, and we will go home to be with Jesus forever. That is our only hope. Mark 8:36, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? That same God who was with Jacob is our God, and he is the one who is with his children, and we do not need to fear. Though we are cheated, though we are persecuted, though we are harassed, though we are threatened, we have spiritual riches, and all of the losses on this earth cannot compare to the smallest of riches in heaven that await us. You can lose everything in this world and still be very rich in Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And Jacob had no idea all that God was doing. And so in closing, I just want to say, let's trust God and not the flesh. Our prosperity is spiritual, not earthly riches, and we're going to live in a world of Laban's. But we don't need to fear, for the fear of Isaac is with us. Several years ago, I bought the kids their first trampoline. And, you know, that's a fun thing, right? Well, we got a windstorm, and it got caught up into the fence. Fortunately, we had a fence beside our house, and it didn't go too far. But then I noticed, okay, trampolines really like to travel in the wind. So we tied it down. Every time a wind blew, it would rattle, but it stayed with us. We moved here. Our backyard, because of the escarpment, is extremely windy. The kids got another trampoline. But I knew, because of what had gone on before, the only hope I had of keeping that trampoline was to secure it. So I got a really heavy-duty rope to secure it and tied it to a post. One day, the wind blew all the time. One day, I looked outside, and Kim was looking outside, and she's like, I can't see the trampoline anymore. And I thought, oh, really? And I went outside, and because of the view of our window, it had the chain that it was attached to had loosened. It didn't come undone, but the trampoline had moved all the way to the other side of our garage building, so we couldn't see it from our window anymore. It had traveled, but you know what? Here's what I'm saying. It traveled, but it was still secure. And life is a lot like that. There will be winds that will howl. There will be difficulties that will come, and you will get rattled. And they're going to come. You can't avoid them. And here is the beauty of it. If you are secure in Christ, you are anchored to something that even though you shift and move and there are challenges, you are truly secure. And when you think, I can't make it through this life, I'm going to lose everything. Even if all your things get blown away by the winds of adversity, you are still secure in Christ. And that's what we see in in Jacob and not in Laban. That's our hope. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water and yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great and glorious truth. We know that we get through this life not because of us, but because our great Savior, Jesus Christ, is with us. Never leaves us, never forsakes us, sees us to the end of every journey, sees us through every season of good and bad, gives us blessing, and allows adversity, and yet is always with us. Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you that the Holy Spirit indwells us and keeps us secure, and that our hope of heaven is certain, and there are greater things that await us. Help us not to walk in the way of the flesh. We pray this in Jesus' name.